I have this great app that helps me with my Bible memory verses, right? I've got a ton of them, right? I haven't memorized all of them, you know, I'm not saying this to show off, but just a whole bunch of them. And Janelle sent me the list of songs, and one of them was Hine Lo Yanum, which comes from Psalm 121. I thought, well, maybe I should give a message on Psalm 121. It's certainly an appropriate psalm during this time of being threatened. And I thought, you know what, Lord, if I open up my Bible memory app and the first memory portion up to come up is Psalm 121, and I'll get the sermon on that. It was Psalm 121. So, I think at this point it would be disobedient of me not to talk about it. All right, so Psalm 121, a song of ascents. What does this mean, the song of ascents, the psalm of going up? In the Talmud and the rabbinic writings, they say there are 15 psalms, and each one corresponds to the 15 steps up to the temple. Most scholars believe, however, it actually has something more to do with the pilgrimage festivals, the three Israelite festivals where all the males are commanded to go to Jerusalem. Okay, so what are those three festivals? Name one of them.
Passover.
Feast of Tabernacles, right? Sukkot and Shavuot, I think I heard. Yeah, or Pentecost, right? So those three, all the males are commanded to go up to Jerusalem, and so people think that these psalms are probably associated with that. A song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come? I've made a point of saying before that some of the older translations, I believe, are incorrect here in that they make it a statement as if my help is coming from the mountains. But it's actually more of the mountains representing fear. Okay? So imagine you're traveling, if indeed this wasn't originally a song for one of those pilgrimage festivals, imagine traveling before there were streetlights and a cop on every other corner and so forth and so on. Those mountains, those hills, those trees become a place for marauding bands to attack travelers from. They're also the place of the pagan sacrifices. This is a psalmist in fear. Okay, most commentators believe that, some disagree, but I really believe, because of what we'll see later in the psalm, this is a psalm that starts out with a little tinge of fear. I'm looking at these mountains. Where is my help going to come from? My help comes from Adonai, maker of heaven and earth. There are two things in this psalm that are really going to help us to understand why we can trust God. And the first is that He is the maker of heaven and earth. And the difference between those who don't believe that and those who do believe that should be monumental. It's not always, because some who don't believe that God made heaven and earth still kind of live like they do. Like, you know, if you don't believe in a creator, you don't believe in order and creation, then there's a lot of other things that come with that that you don't believe in. You don't really believe in free will, because everything was determined back at the Big Bang and how the molecules arranged, and just one thing led to another, this cause led to that cause, so forth and so on. And there are scientists and neuroscientists who will say, I don't believe in free will. Those are actually the more honest ones, right? If you don't believe in a God who created and who gave free will to us as moral agents, then really there's no such thing as free will. They don't live that way. If there's really no purpose in life, they don't live that way. They try to create their own purpose. There's really no meaning in life. They don't quite live that way. So the difference between those who believe and those who don't believe is sometimes, because those who don't believe, actually underneath it all, I think they do, they're just angry at God. Yes. right? A lot of times they're angry at the Lord. And you know that by the way they go overboard in pointing that out all the time. And then unfortunately on the other side we have those who do believe who don't live in the full reality of that. We don't live in the full reality that Adonai is the maker of heaven and earth. We don't live in the fullness of that reality. When you go into your prayer closet, it's not so you can have devotions, like it's some precious moments, little time, you know, or some Shabbat school or Sunday school cardboard cutout, and there's Jesus, and whoops, he fell down. Let me pick him up, put him back up there, right? You are going before the creator of heaven and earth. And if you believe that, and not just believe that he's the maker of heaven and earth, but that's where your help comes from.
Yes.
Then that changes everything. He's got yes. the hairs on my head numbered. Okay?
Yes.
Right, he's having to recount every day, but he's got the hairs on my head numbered. Right? And he's my help.
Yes.
Right? We sing this song as well. Right? Esa and I. Right, that's on Esa'enai El Heharim. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Me'ayin, from where? Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Where does my help come from? Right? Ezri, my help. Adonai is Ezri. Adonai is my help. And I think sometimes we just need to meditate on that a little bit. The Lord is my help. Even when it looks like things are going wrong, I think April mentioned this earlier today during the worship, even when it looks like things are not going well, he's my help. Yeah. If he's the maker of heaven and earth, he's also the maker of my path forward. Yeah. And if my path goes this way in my imagination, but God says, no, it's going to go this way, that doesn't mean God's not my help. It means I need to surrender to the fact that he's the maker of heaven and earth and not me.
Yeah.
Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. He will not let your foot slip. Your keeper will not slumber. Behold, the keeper of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. I want to teach you a Hebrew word. If you could repeat after me, shamar.
Shamar
means to keep. And Hebrew is a very root-emphasizing language. Okay, there's probably a more technical way to say that, but that's what came out. There you go. So, shamar means to keep. Shomer means one who keeps. Right? Shomrecha means your keeper. We see this word over and over in Psalm 121. Some of the translations think in other words for that shamar word. But some of them, like the English Standard Version, keeps it. Keeps the word keep. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is your keeper. Down to verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Verse 8, the Lord will keep your going. He will keep you.
Yes.
He is your Shomer. He is Shomer Israel, the guardian of Israel. He is Shomrecha. He is your keeper.
Amen.
The Lord is your keeper. And in case you didn't get it, the psalm says it six times, that he is your keeper. Well, five times, and one time it says Israel. He's Israel's keeper. He is your keeper. He is the one who watches over you. We are called to keep things, right? We're called to keep... We see it in the Torah, the commandments. Keep my commandments. Keep them. Guard them. Sometimes it's translated as guard. Same word there, shamar. Guard the commandments. Guard the Shabbat. Keep, guard, guard. And the rabbis got so punctilious about this. We are called to guard the Shabbat. Right? We're called to guard the Sabbath. We're going to do so well that we're going to have a whole set of rules. Pages and pages of rules around the Sabbath so that we don't break the Sabbath. God says don't work on the Sabbath. That's about the extent of what the actual biblical commandment is. Don't work on the Sabbath. Well, what does work mean? And the rabbis say, this is not work, this is. This is not work, this is. And they put a fence around the Torah so that you have pages and pages so that you know how to keep the Shabbat. Now, that's not our approach here. But the point I'm trying to make is, as punctilious and concerned as they are about keeping things like the Shabbat, that is God's heart towards you. That is how into keeping you God is. And sometimes that means hard times because it matures us or humbles us or gets us on our knees in repentance or calling out to Him. But God is all about keeping us. He will not let your foot slip. Your keeper will not slumber. Behold, the keeper of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. I remember hearing two people talk, and somebody says, my keeper doesn't slumber or sleep. And then the other person said, that verse is actually about Israel. It's both, right? It's from Psalm 121, and it's both. And the fact that He keeps Israel is supposed to encourage us that He keeps us individually.
Amen.
The keeper of Israel in this particular case is about, look at how He's kept Israel in the same way He keeps you. How does He keep Israel? Well, first of all, God gave the promise to Abraham to have seed that numbered like the stars in the heavens or the sand by the seashore. And that was almost 4,000 years ago. I don't know any other 4,000-year-old promises that have been kept outside of, you know, some other things in the Bible. But what other 4,000-year-old promises do you know? What other 4,000-year-old promises do you know? And here we are today, right? Here we are today, numbering like, and this promise came when Abraham was childless,
yeah.
Right? And his wife were too old to have children. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm going to give you this promise, old Abraham, old Sarah, I'm going to give you this promise that your descendants will number like the star. In fact, God gives them a little show and tell. He says, come out and look at the stars. And you go out when you're out in the country. I didn't grow up in the country. But boy, when I got out in the country and it was a moonless night and I looked up at the stars, it's a lot of stars. The scientists say we can't even count them all, right? And so for a scientist to have that kind of humility to admit that, you know, there's a lot of stars. Count the stars. You can't count the stars,
yeah.
Right? That's how your descendants will be. And we partake in that. Whether you're born Jewish or not born Jewish, you partake in that. You partake of the blessings of Abraham through his physical descendants and become those spiritual blessings that we get engrafted into if you weren't born Jewish, right? So these promises apply to you. The way he's kept Israel, has Israel gone through hard times? Of course. Very hard times. But God preserved them through it.
Yeah.
God chastened them through it. Mm-hmm. God's still with them and still faithful to them through it. And he's saying, he's your keeper, right? Behold, the keeper of Israel neither slumber nor sleeps. Look to Israel in the same way he's going to be your keeper. I love this, he neither slumbers nor sleeps, right? I love Elijah, when he's making fun of the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18, you know? You probably all know this, but just for those who maybe don't. Israel's gone after Baal, by and large, in 1 Kings that time there. And Elijah said, all right, let's set up a little contest here. You put out your sacrifice, I'll put out my sacrifice. You call on Baal, I'll call on Adonai. The God that answers by fire is the true God. And the prophets of Baal put out their sacrifice and they're singing and they're dancing and they're chanting all day long. Elijah must be getting bored because he starts making fun of them, right? So maybe he's relieving himself. Maybe he is
on a journey.
Maybe he's sleeping. The pagan gods slept.
And they ate.
And they ate. Adonai is not like that. He is not like that. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He's on the throne. And that means because he doesn't sleep, you can sleep. Very quickly, I want to look at Matthew 8:23. Says, and when he, talking about Yeshua, got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. Just such a trust in his Father. God's not sleeping. I can sleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" We need more of that. Sleeping in the boat. And I'm not saying sleeping on the job. I'm not saying sleeping when you should be awake. I'm not saying sleeping when you should be praying. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying having the peace of the Lord in the midst of all times. And the Lord brought me through a period of understanding that. Here we are in our new building. Many of you have helped to make this happen through your work, your donations, you're schlepping things, you're moving things, all that kind of great stuff. But it's the Lord.
Yes.
And every time we hit a bump in the road, at the time, looking back on it now, I say a bump in the road, but at the time, it's this huge Mount Everest in front of us.
Right. Yeah.
We don't have enough students. Where are we going to get all the students from? We had student registration nights. A few of them where we had one person show up. I think we had one or two where nobody showed up. Where we don't have students. That's a mountain. You can't have a school and no students. And then the building we thought we were going to get, we lost it. How are you going to have a school without a building and you've only got less than 2 weeks to go to get everyone registered in the system for the scholarship mountain? But you know what? It got to the point where God started moving the mountain so much that I started to expect it.
Oh yeah.
And I started to have peace and be able to rest in the midst of it, right? What was the last mountain? The last mountain was, you got the wrong kind of fire inspection. Okay, well, we're supposed to have all our students registered today in a few hours, and you're telling me I need to call the fire department, get them out here. Well, started making phone calls, got the fire department out here, and they said, "Well, you got some things wrong." Anyway, it turns out that with 30 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go, something like that, before
we had to have the kids read. I had to be in compliant for the scholarships. Mr. Early at Department of Education left at 4:15 that day. My kids had to be, and I had to have my login to sign in. We were compliant at 4:00. And my login didn't work. He had to reset my login. It took 20 minutes for my login to reset. So he had already been gone 5 minutes before I was even able to register the kids in the system to know that it was actually going to work. But
at that point, God had moved so many mountains that I just felt the Lord wants it to happen. And I sent April a text. I said, if God wants this to happen, nothing can stand against it.
Amen.
Nothing can stand against it. Because he doesn't sleep, I can rest. Because he doesn't sleep, I can rest. Go ahead and go to the next slide there. Adonai is your keeper. Adonai is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And I don't have a whole lot to say about that, but I just want us to rest in those couple of verses for a second. Adonai is your keeper. Adonai is your shade at your right hand. The sun, and these are singular. In English, we don't have singular or plural yous, right? When we're talking to somebody, hey you, we could be talking to a group of people or one person, hey you, right? Or in the South, we y'all, right? And some people say y'all is plural.
You all.
But there's one guy who said, no, it's not plural, it's singular. Right? And my friend said, no, it's plural. It's short for you all. No, it's singular. He said, okay, then what is plural for y'all? He said, well, that's easy. That's all y'all. So, but here in the Hebrew, we've got singular use, right? It's clear in the Hebrew when it's singular, when it's plural. This is singular use. Adonai is your keeper. I just want us to rest in that. Adonai is your keeper. Adonai is your shadow at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Go ahead and go to the last slide there. And here we have a little bit of a change in tense in the verbs. Okay? This is what we call the imperfect tense, which could mean something that's going to happen, or it could mean a wish, may it happen. But this is the language of a blessing, right? If we go to Numbers 6, all right, this is a passage we're all familiar with. Exodus, Leviticus. Numbers 6, starting at verse 24. Says, the Lord bless you and keep you. Adonai bless you and keep you. This is also in the imperfect. Your version may say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Your version may say, the Lord will bless you and keep you. It could be any of those, but it's the language of being blessed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you shalom. And so this psalm also ends with a blessing, because sometimes we just need to hear a blessing, don't we? Sometimes we just need to hear a blessing. I'm going through whatever you're going through. Problems with your children, struggles with your finances, concern about the coming storm. You're worried, worried, worried. And what you need to hear is somebody blessing you.
Yes.
It's one of the beautiful things about the Jewish culture is this idea of the parents, and the father in particular, blessing his family, right? Blessing his wife, saying the Eshet Chayil, the woman of valor, over her, right? And over the children, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh, may God make you like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, and then reciting number 6 Friday night. That's supposed to happen. The fathers put their hands on the heads of the children and they say what I'm going to say for you now. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavalecha v'yuchunecha. Yisa Adonai panavalecha v'yisem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you his shalom, give you his peace. And in the words of the psalm, may the Lord keep you from all evil. May the Lord keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And that blessing has power in it because of the love of the Lord for you. The love of the one who is your shomrecha, the love of the one who is your guardian, your personal, singular guardian, the one who watches over Israel is the one who watches over you. And the one who watches over you is the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps. So may you have the peace and the blessing of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And we all say, Amen.
Amen.